A reading from Mark 6:14-16. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said he is Elijah, and still others claimed he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead.
So this is speculative, but Herod has not probably in his conscious mind, but he's perpetrated a crime. He has ordered the beheading of John. And then, like so many people, he probably rationalizes it. And then he starts hearing, because the word starts spreading around, that John may be more, that the thing that attracted him, John, may be that he was from God, that he was a prophet of God, which I think would frighten anybody, even a king.
Yeah. Well, in the beheading account, it talks about him being distressed when he hears the request. So even though John seemed to be a pebble in his shoe or pebble in his sandal, so to speak, there's something about John's way that's very attractive to him. He sees something in it. And now this movement is up and coming. Right before this passage, it says that Jesus' disciples go out and they're casting out demons and they're healing people. And Herod's goal is to keep peace. He doesn't want any bad reports going back to Rome. And his whole goal is to be this puppet leader in Israel and keep the peace in the area. And now you got these revolutionary movements that are happening. You know, John was very vocal, and now Jesus is very expressive in the power of the kingdom. There's healing, and there's people who are saying, hey, this is what we've been longing for. And out of his paranoia, because he knows he's done something wrong, when you've recognized this godly character in a person and you ended up killing him, he's now starting to fear, is this John guy come back from the dead? Which is interesting that he would go to that outcome.
This is a kind of a generalization coming out of what you just said, but I think it really is important for people to remember this, is that the Bible is so extraordinary, the Gospels are so extraordinary in that they give us so much information about these things that we can talk this way about Herod, and we can talk this way about what people were saying. We talked a few days ago about walking with Jesus through the dusty roads and through the heat of the day, and you really get the sense of you being in a very particular place in a particular time in history. And here you have Rome, right in the middle of Israel, and right in the middle of the story, actually. And so the history part of this story is very concrete. And to me, that is an essential part of Jesus is not disembodied. He's going through the real world just like we're going through the real world, facing the same things that all of us face. Even with men and women of power in this case.
Yeah, and that world becomes more accessible to us every year through archaeology, and we come to wrestle with the you used the word concreteness, but the presentness of Jesus. This past time being in Israel for me, the thing that gripped me the most being in Galilee was how hard it must have been for the disciples to follow Jesus. I've often, had the idea, if I had been there, it'd been different. But when I was in Capernaum and bumping shoulders with people and thinking about how off the wall Jesus was, he was always going against the system. He just never really did it the way they would expect him to do it. And so how challenging it must have been for them to really get to that spot to say, okay, we are going to follow him because he's going to put us in a very awkward place. And the concreteness of Jesus is something I think that enlivens our faith, getting our minds and our imaginations around the human Jesus as he's walking through this world.
It's one of the surprises for those who are encountering the Bible for the first time is these are extraordinary works that bring us into the moment of Jesus in ways that when we don't know it well, we just can't even imagine. And that's part of the joy and the pleasure and the unbelievable experience of reading the Gospels.
The Word made flesh.